Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
If we were meeting for the first time, a common question that might be asked or might be said is, tell me something about yourself. And in that context, think about how we would respond. There certainly isn't a right answer that could be given because all of us are a wide variety of people. We would give our wide variety of answers. But if we were to compare answers from one to the next who was asked that question, there would be a general trend that would emerge from that, that we would generally speak from a place of the things which we identify with. We would address those things and bring those to the forefront and speak of those things. So we would say things like, you know, I'm really into music, or I really enjoy the outdoors. We would speak of the things that we love in life, the things that we enjoy, and we would focus on those things. Those are the things we identify with, and that is the thing, the very things that we would wind up talking about when we're describing ourselves, is these things that we identify with. And in part, I suppose, we all want to belong to something bigger than ourselves, and identifying with a hobby or an interest group or some movement helps us fulfill that to a degree. But we must also recognize that this will always be limited for us as Christians because, as followers of Christ, we can never fully identify with this world or the things of this world. And as Christians, we have to recognize that our identity has essentially been changed. We identify now with Christ and his kingdom, and that means so much more than we really recognize so many times. We forget this, and we don't recognize it in the moment of our life. The Apostle Paul acknowledges this fact in the epistle text today. He makes a bold statement toward the end of the epistle text today. He says, "Here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come." And by this, he is speaking of the New Jerusalem, the city of God, the kingdom of heaven. He's reminding us that that is to come, that we are no longer citizens of this world, but we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And though we experience the kingdom of heaven here on earth, here and now, we don't experience the fullness of the kingdom of heaven here and now. It's an already not yet experience. We experience parts of it, but there is an element of it that we have not yet experienced. The fullness is still to come. And we look forward to that day when the fullness of the kingdom of heaven is revealed on earth. The day hasn't arrived. We look forward to its coming. We anticipate this future reality to be revealed at Christ's glorious return to earth. Until that glorious day, the trials, the tribulations, the sorrows that are found in this life, in this world, will continue. Until Christ returns, injustice will still seek to advance itself. Until Christ returns, selfishness will continue to present itself in the hearts of individuals. Passions will seek to dominate the hearts of individuals. Until the day of the Lord, the sting of death remains with us. We still feel its sting. Even though Christ has triumphed, we still feel the sting of death because the complete and total swallowing up of death takes place at Christ's glorious return. In the glorious day of our Lord's return, however, everything changes. Death will be no more. Sorrow will be a thing of the past. Injustice will fade away, and all mankind will live in peace. Creation itself will be returned to that wonderful state of peace. For this reason, the day of the Lord, the coming city, is a day to look forward to. We anticipate the inauguration of the kingdom of heaven, the inauguration of that heavenly city, the city of God. We eagerly await Christ to return, to put into order the chaos of sin. We long for Christ's coming. We long for the fullness of the kingdom to be revealed. But in the meantime, what the Apostle Paul says to us in the epistle text today really has great bearing on our life today, because the reminder is reminding us where we are, where we find ourselves, in the midst of that longing and anticipating. We're waiting. We're anticipating the coming city. But in the meantime, there is work to be done. We still continue to struggle to let go of this world. We still look to that city that is to come, where our future home is, where ultimately our true home is. There is where we find our citizenship. But in the meantime, there is work for us here and now. See, we are no longer citizens of this world. We have no city to call our own here. And why is this? Because essentially, we have given this up at our baptism. In baptism, remember, we are marked with the sign of Christ. In baptism and in chrismation, we are sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. We identify with Christ and we become a new creation through the sacraments. We become a citizen of heaven and our home is in the New Jerusalem. We give up our ties to this world. They are broken. And all our hopes are put in the world to come. And now, we identify with the kingdom of heaven. You see, the truth is, we are baptized only once. However, we spend the rest of our life unpacking the reality of our baptism, coming to terms with what took place in our baptism. So it is proper to revisit that again and again, to remind ourselves and to contemplate the reality of what took place when we were identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. We return to that to reckon ourselves again, dead to sin, but alive to Christ, alive to God in Christ. So we seek to respond appropriately by continually identifying with Christ. This is what begins at baptism, but through our life, we are seeking to identify fully and completely with Christ. One thing is certain. When we identify with Christ, it is clear that this world is no longer our home. Whether consciously or unconsciously, the world recognizes that we don't belong anymore. It recognizes us as an intruder, as an alien. We don't belong. It's not always a conscious thing, but it's always a reality. The world begins to reject us because we identify with Christ, and the world rejected Christ. And thus it is that when we identify with Christ, we come to recognize very clearly this world is not our home. But the other aspect of the epistle text this morning that we have to recognize, it is fitting and right that we trust Christ because this is what Christ did for us. That is the essential message that he's bringing home to us in the epistle text, that Christ identified with the human race. Christ spent his whole human existence on earth identifying with us. He identified with us not with the high and the mighty of society, not with the rich and powerful. Christ identified with the lowly. Christ came to this earth and identified with poverty. He came to this earth and identified with sorrows. He identified with injustice. He identified with suffering and even with death. He identified with us in the lowest extremes of the human condition. He came to the world to bear our sorrows. That's why he came. To bear our sorrows, to bear our illnesses, to bear our transgressions on the cross. He bore the abuse that we deserved. He took the punishment that we deserved. He went to the camp. He was an outsider, an outcast, and there he bore the burden of the sin of the world and all the things that we could heap upon him. All of our brokenness, all of our wounds, he took upon himself. See, Christ totally, completely, in condition. In a real sense, in our darkest hour, Christ was there identifying with us with that reality of what our darkest hour looks like. Now, we have the opportunity to identify with Christ. He was there for us in our darkest hour, and now it is time for us to live our life, dedicating our life, identifying with Christ himself. Now we can seek to understand and live out the reality of our baptism, to know what it is to be identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, to recognize the truth is we do no longer belong to this world. Rather, we belong to Christ, who has purchased us with his own blood. And thus, as the epistle closes out this morning, there are some simple instructions given. The call is simply to live in these simple ways. This is how we identify with Christ, by offering up the fruit of our lips, the sacrifice of praise, by giving thanks and praise to God. It's a simple thing, and yet we so easily forget it and don't practice it. And it needs to be something we practice on a daily basis, to give thanks and praise to God daily, throughout the day. This is such a basic thing that we sometimes just walk past it and live our life as though God doesn't exist and that God isn't visiting us throughout our day. But we have to stop and give him thanks and praise. He also tells us that we are to do good to others. And this is another way that we identify with Christ, by doing good to others. And we likewise identify with Christ by sharing from what we have. See, we don't do these things for ourselves. We do these things for the sake of Christ and for the sake of his kingdom. We do these things because we don't belong to this world. We belong to Christ. We identify with Christ and we identify with the kingdom of heaven. We don't belong to this world. We seek a city that is to come. You see, Christ totally identified with us in our sins, in our sorrows, in our brokenness. And today we have the opportunity to live out our baptism, to identify with Christ, to willingly live our life each day identifying with Christ, to identify with Christ by living sacrificially for his sake. Identifying with Christ means that this world is no longer our home. But here we have no lasting city, for we look to the city that is to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.